Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
From the start of my life, that's me, I open my eyes to take a peek. To find that I don't smile, I just think, gazing with tranquility. And if I'm not the leader, then I just come sneak and smoke on the stuff and I'm not the home. If the ring is the ready, it will pass. On heaven, the light of which shadows to cast. I will do all the little of the thing, and the crying, I won't fear when I
Yes. Histories of the past. That's kind of a sub theme for our program today. This is Jorge, your hurdy-gurdy man. Thank you for joining me this Tuesday for Hurdy-Gurdy Songs. Our program today will certainly focus on history. And it's a program I'm calling today. It's program 16. It's Agitprop, Then and Now. Agitation, propaganda, activism. That's what this program's going to be about today. But before I get into the program today, I just want to say one thing briefly. Vote. Get your friends to vote. Get your family to vote. It's coming up soon. We have to vote. Okay, that's it. That's my opinion. It does not reflect the opinion of Radio Free Brooklyn, but I am very proud to be a part of this community at Radio Free Brooklyn. I'll tell you a little bit more about what we do here at radiofreebrooklyn.org. But I want to get right into our program today. So let's start off, and I hope you enjoy.
Cuando vayas a los campos, no te apartes del camino, que puedes pisar el sueño de los abuelos dormidos. Campesino, campesino, por ti canto, campesino. Unos son tierra menuda, otros la raíz del trigo, otros son piedras dispersas en las orillas del río. Campesino, campesino, por ti canto, campesino. Cuántas veces, más allá del sembradío, en la fragua de las tardes, fueron a templar su grito. Campesino, campesino, por ti canto. το καμπεσίνο. Sagrada misión del hombre, nieve, sol y sacrificio, morir sembrando la vida, vivir templando su grito, campesino, campesino, por ti canto, campesino. Cuando vayas a los campos, no te apartes del camino, que puedes pisar el sueño de los abuelos dormidos, nunca muertos si dormidos, nunca muertos si dormidos, los abuelos campesinos, nunca muertos si dormidos. Nunca muertos y dormidos, ten cuidado campesino, de no pisar esos sueños de los abuelos dormidos. Nunca muertos y dormidos, campesino, 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 por ti canto, campesino.
Thank you.
Okay, there we have a short introductory set of some agitprop songs, hurdy-gurdy songs, again, as defined by songs that speak truth to power, that talk about social movements, that talk about the importance, the impact, rather, that a song can have on movements of people. First, we heard Atahualpa Yupanqui, the wonderful Argentinian folk singer, who came from fairly well-off family to become a communist, and was even jailed by Perón's regime, and served as a model for the Nueva Canción movement, taking on the legendary name of indigenous leader Atahualpa Yupanqui, and a beautiful guitar player. And we'll see how that ties into today's theme a little later. Then we heard Viva la Quince Brigada, which is this version. We heard it as sung by Pete Seeger in Barcelona in 1993, and a song that relates to this efforts to fight Spanish fascism in the middle 1930s. There was this civil war as such, and we heard this marching song, another type of agitprop song, a marcha, a historical march, a las barricadas anarquistas. And again, it pertains to the situation in Catalonia, in Spain. If many of the volunteers in Spain were motivated by their communist convictions, that was not true of all of them, and certainly not all of the resistance to fascism among the Spaniards. A long tradition of Spanish anarchism had created a vibrant movement that was powerful enough in Barcelona, for example, to hold and control that city for many months. It's what you hear in, you can read in George Orwell's Homage to Catalonia. The final song on here, this song, A las Barricadas, which was an anthem of the anarchists who supported the Republic, a fitting tribute to the true spirit of the united front against fascism. And that's sort of one of the operational ideas here, united front against fascism, very much like the popular front. Social movements against fascism, authoritarianism. So you are listening to Hurdy Gurdy Songs, and it's a pleasure to be here with you. Let's stay with the Spanish history. And here's a piece by, The Clash.
Inside in the days of 39. Oh, please leave the Vendana open. Federico Lager, dead and gone. Bullet holes in the cemetery wall. The black car, the Gotti of the beer. Spanish bombs on the Costa Rica. I'm dying here on the DC 10 tonight. Spanish bombs, you have to get away from it.
Hello.
Hey.
Is this our special guest, Mark Rebo?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Mark. Hi, thank you so much for calling in today. It's great to have you here on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Can you hear Spanish bombs in the background?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling in. First of all, welcome to our program, and let's just get right to it, if we may. It's an honor to have you here, and thank you so much, first of all.
Honor to be here.
Well, first of all, where are you calling from right now?
I'm calling from my apartment on a fifth floor of a walk-up in Brooklyn.
Okay. Okay.
Well, less those things, the
That's wonderful. Well,
although I love my apartment, I have to say.
Yeah. Well, it's Brooklyn's the shit, man. And you know, you're on internet radio, so I just want to let you know you can say anything you want to say today.
All right, then I'll say Brooklyn is the shit.
There you go. Well, so that takes out some of my tour questions, but I wanted to start off first of all by kind of getting a response to you from you about how is the tour for this record going? Because I know you're touring it some.
Well, to be honest with you, we haven't toured it much yet, and there are a few days that are. I mean, we did the record release party, and I played at a few scattered gigs, but we haven't really toured it. And part of the problem has been that there isn't really a we to tour. I mean, with this record, so many different people played on it. You know, it's a multi-artist record that to get them all in the same place to do a show is, I wouldn't say impossible, but not likely at my level of the business, let's say. And so I've been experimenting with a lot of different, and I'm not really, you know, I sing every now and then, but I'm not really a singer. You know, I'll sing in emergencies, and I do view this as an emergency politically.
Mm-hmm.
anyways, to make a long story short, yes, we've done some gigs. I'm proud to say that I have not done any two gigs with the same lineup, including the rhythm section. I have not yet had the same drums, bass, and saxophone on any two gigs. So that's been a challenge, but you know, slowly it's falling into place. I mean, what happened was when it first came out, you know, I liked the arrangements on the record, you know, but I did those to fit each artist that was on the record. And so first I tried to do it myself with those arrangements. And it, you know, people were very polite. You know, they were coming up back after the gig and saying nice things. And I said, yes, thank you very much. And I took all the charts and I threw them in the garbage. I said, I'm never doing this again.
Was it too constricting for you? Was it too constricting, or what was it about?
Well, you know, it kind of got into, you know, artistically, you know, like I said, I arranged it for the other singers. Some of it went to a country place. Mm-hmm. Some of it went to a, you know, folk place. And, you know, I come from a different background, you know, like, well, to put it bluntly, punk rock, punk jazz, free jazz, and punk Cuban. So, you know, I wanted to do things in my own way. And later on, I had a better idea, and I got a trio together, and we did it at a small club without any rehearsal, without knowing any of the tunes, and I screamed the lyrics over these amazing free jazz pieces, and it was great. So now I do a kind of a mixture of the two. It's come back a little towards tunes, but it's more improvisational, and I can do it. So, sorry, long answer to a short question.
No, that's exactly what people want to know. What motivates someone to write what I call hurdy-gurdy songs, to perform hurdy-gurdy songs, these songs that are truth stories, stories that are necessary and not just agitprop, but actually will motivate people. And I have to just say that I've followed your career as a guitarist. I have both that combination of envy and respect for what you're doing. And this record really has changed so much in how much I appreciate what you're doing with this kind of music. I want to ask you about that, something about that idea of the guitar voice, because you're known for your unique guitar work in which you can basically sit in almost any setting and play and perform beautifully and also retain your identity, your very strong voice. You always know when it's Rebo. And then,
well,
and now with this record, you do hear more of the singing voice. So I wanted to ask you, you know, with your intent on this recording, you know, to address so many of the issues of the day and draw on history and so on, how does that kind of work for you, that shift between the guitar voice and the singing voice?
Well, you know, I've always, you know, I've sung a couple of tunes on Rootless Cosmopolitan records.
Right.
You know, more often I just kind of spoke the lyrics, or what the Germans would call Sprechgesang, talk singing,
right.
You know, because my singing is kind of an acquired taste, let's put it this way, which is why I wanted to have, like, you know, friends of mine, you know, Tom Waits, Steve Earle, Sam Amidon, Faye Victor, and Sid Straw and Justin Vivian Bond last but very much not least, Michelle Nadeggio-Cello,
oh, yes,
do the heavy lifting in terms of the singing on this record, although I sang on a couple of tunes. You know, so I just never, yeah, I mean, the part of the reason why I have a instrumental voice is because I kept my mouth shut, or I knew when to keep my mouth shut. This wasn't an intentional effort to do that, or to be honest with you, I'm glad if people can recognize me, but in a way that's in spite of my best efforts, because I don't like this idea that, you know, some young musicians, you hear them talking, they say, oh, I got to brand myself with a sound. I mean, that's cool if people want to do it. I hope it works for them. But, you know, I'm not trying to create an identity. I'm trying to make the songs that I play make sense. I'm trying to make the song work, you know?
Understood.
In a way that it works for me. And if that means playing it all messed up, then I play it all messed up. If it means doing the gestures of a Grant Green or a soul jazz guitarist, then I do those gestures. It's like, what is the song saying? What room is it supposed to be in? What history is it from? You know, so I think about those things when I'm performing on a song and just try to make it good. I'm not trying to have, if to the extent that I have an individual voice, it's probably because of my mistakes and limitations.
I see that, and I totally get that. And when I listened to this record, you know, initially, and heard, you know, you're both a chameleon, but you're more than that. You are able to really, really step into those different rooms. And I wanted to ask you, is there one song for you personally, that you feel has the most legs in terms of the street action, of the march, of the protest, you know, of the resistance that this is eliciting?
Pardon?
Sorry.
I didn't understand it as which song?
Is there a particular song on this collection?
Oh, well, you know, I mean, the song that we did, Bella Ciao,
mm-hmm.
That Tom Waits sang and sang so beautifully, in Italy it's usually done as a march. You know, Bella Ciao, Bella Ciao, Bella Ciao, Ciao, Ciao. We did it first of all in English, because I wanted, and I did every song on this record, even though some of them were not written in English, except Rata de los Patas. I did them in English because I wanted it very specifically to be speaking to this time and this place. This is a song about, make no mistake, these songs of resistance are resistance to Donald Trump and the political movement that has put him in power, and the similar political movements around the world that are putting authoritarians and potentially fascists in power. So I wanted it to make sense in our situation here and now. But that said, you know, both Bella Ciao and We Are Soldiers in the Army are usually done in, which is, was a traditional song. Bella Ciao is a traditional song of the Italian partisan movement, the World War II resistance to Mussolini. And We Are Soldiers in the Army came out of the the U.S. civil rights movement. And, you know, both were sung more up-tempo in a march. But I didn't do either of them in marches. And I don't know why. In Bella Ciao, I did it. The lyric has a kind of a more, when you understand it in English, it has a very melancholy theme. It's someone saying goodbye to their lover to join in a situation which joining the resistance meant going to live in the mountains and probably not coming back.
Hence, goodbye beautiful.
Yeah, it's goodbye beautiful. That's right. They're saying goodbye to their lover. And we are soldiers in the army. So I felt that that song had a melancholy potential, you know, undercurrent to it that I wanted to bring out. If other people want to restore it as a march, I say go for it. I wanted to bring out the melancholy, I guess, because I have to say that I feel myself sad about not only about what's going on, but in a way, the guy wasn't just saying, we're not just saying when we do these things, goodbye to people or time we could have spent in other ways. We're also saying that there's something that has to be done now, and it's not necessary. Canvassing and going to meetings is not necessarily beautiful, but it's something that has to be done, and it's, you know, I'd rather go back to playing instrumental music, and I promise I will as soon as we're safe, you know.
Right.
We Are Soldiers is also, like I said, normally done as a march, but I struggled for a long time with how I could do these songs in ways that felt real for myself and the people I was working with. I didn't feel that I could do, I didn't want to do an archival version of any of them. Especially, I didn't feel I had the right to do an archival version of this song of the civil rights movement. And so we did it in a way that both Faye Victor and I were comfortable with, you know, with a rhythm section that we were comfortable with, and it came out as a kind of a free jazz arrangement of the tune. I think it works in the way that we did it for us. And I should say that, sorry, I know I'm talking a lot, so.
No, it's good. That's why we wanted, yes.
This is what you get for getting an interview after my coffee.
I love it. Thank you.
That I wasn't literally, although a lot of these tunes are marches,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't so much literally trying to say, play these tunes as marches, although I'd be thrilled if people did, as I was trying to say, do what I did. You know, don't imitate me,
right.
but feel the freedom to do what I did, which is to look at the past, look at our history of resistance, of our history of the music of resistance, the politics of resistance, the tactics of resistance, the organizations of resistance. Look at the history. Take what's useful, change it so it's useful now, and run with it. So, I think that's what I wanted the takeaway to be, not to literally, I don't have the chutzpah to think that, you know, I can write songs for people who are marching today. But I hope I can help them find their songs.
Well, Mark, you draw from a very deep legacy, the history of protest songs that you are clearly recasting into, like, and I hate to sound so academic, into these multiplicities of genres and styles and social movements. So there are two questions that kind of, from your answer, come up for me, which is, if it's not an archival historical, in quote, project as such, but in reality, we know that history, or we have always, you know, this notion that history repeats itself if we're not aware and conscious and responding and reacting and, you know, involved. So that's one thing. So while drawing from all this historical sources, you know, of music from around the world, including, and some of, to me, some of those civil rights kind of songs that are on Goodbye Beautiful, you know, I hear Nina Simone, I hear Gil Scott-Heron and so on. But my question is, are we not bound to repeat history? Number one.
Well,
and number two, is this an attempt to recognize the histories of resistance as such, kind of like what you've talked about in other interviews as like a new popular front, so to speak?
Well, I hope, okay, to answer your questions in order, the actual quote is, history repeats itself first as tragedy, then as farce. But the meaning of that statement we need to remember is that the farce can kill you too. And in our current situation, I'm not being in any way metaphoric or exaggerating in the claim that this will kill us. At the very least, Trump's climate change denial, will kill. I have a close family member who is not a climatologist, but is educated in the physics of energy use and climate enough so that he can read the climatology, and he's scared shitless.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a daughter, and she's 21. And right now, according to majority scientific opinion, either, depending on who you read, it is certain, almost certain, that there will be major disruptions in her life. The map is not going to look the same. The political geography is not going to look the same. And the physical means of survival are not going to look the same. And depending on who you read, those changes are either likely to do away or that will very possibly do away with either civilization or the species itself, possibly during what would otherwise be my daughter's lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I share one thing with Donald Trump. I certainly hope that all these climatologists are wrong. We all hope that. But the difference between myself and Donald Trump and his enablers in the Republican Party are, and also I should add, his enablers in those members who would otherwise support the Democrats who don't vote.
Right, right.
The difference between myself and those who would deny climate change
mm-hmm.
is that they're willing to bet my daughter's life on their being right. And I don't think that that's theirs to bet. So, I'm sorry, I got away from the initial question now. Towards the idea of a popular front. Yes, it's very much my hope that we'll do with politics what we have done, what I've tried to do with this music, which is to see what worked the last time. And the last time the popular front worked, it was what succeeded in getting rid. By last time, I'm referring to the World War II defeat of the Axis powers.
Right.
And, you know, I do not believe that, I don't think history repeats itself exactly ever. I don't think anything repeats itself exactly. But I do think that there are lessons to be learned. I'm going to leave it to the historians to decide whether Donald Trump and the current group of authoritarian leaders around the world have enough traits in common to warrant the term a fascist movement.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that anybody who is not disturbed by the similarities just isn't paying attention. And one of the things I do as a musician is travel. And I've been in Russia, in Putin's Russia, and I've been in Erdogan's Turkey,
mm-hmm.
and I have no doubts whatsoever of where Trump is leading us in the United States, and it ain't pretty. And so whether you call it fascism or not, what worked the last time in defeating an authoritarian movement was something called the Popular Front. And what that meant was that liberals worked together with leftists, and leftists worked together with liberals. People who would normally detest each other worked together. And they also worked together with what was called patriotic anti-fascists, which was another name for conservatives who didn't like Hitler and Mussolini. And needs to be said that many of the people who were anti-fascists in World War II and who fought and died were conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and if you one listens closely to this record, there is nothing really on it that that should offend that should even offend a conservative.
Was that a calculated decision on your part as an artist?
Yes, it was. I wanted to not only talk about the Popular Front, but I wanted to practice it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the environmental tunes on this, the militant ecologist, and the Big Fool.
Big Fool, right?
Are you know both of them? Well, I mean, environmentalism was originally about 50-50 liberal conservative. Conservatives like clean air and clean water as much as liberals. And conservatives' kids, at least those who are not the kids of billionaires, are going to be hurt and killed by whatever, by our failure, our neglect of, if we don't do what we need to do to prevent the most catastrophic climate change. They're going to be hurt. All our kids are going to be hurt by this. This shouldn't be a partisan issue. Other issues, other things on this record, you know, I mean, I know a lot of labor songs.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'd wanted to sing, so, and I've done some on other records, Ceramic Dog, oh, what did we cover a few records back? We did Bread and Roses,
mm-hmm.
okay, which came
mm-hmm.
from the IWW labor movement,
right, the whole,
at the turn of the century. But, you know, I know plenty of songs which are waving the red flag and talking about class struggle. I know those songs. I like them. But they're not on this record. I wanted, you know, to focus on this record on the Popular Front.
It's really a wonderful record. I would ask anyone listening to this, and we'll definitely disseminate it. This is an important record. My question is, do you see more of these, what I call hurdy-gurdy songs, the kind of what you're doing, precisely what you're doing, which is why I so wanted you to come on to Hurdy-Gurdy Songs at Radio Free Brooklyn. Do you see people...
Dude, here I was trying to do a slick studio production.
Well, it's that and so much more, though, Mark, to be honest with you. You know, I think it's that and so much more. You know, I don't know that slick is the right word. I think it's really, you know, quite sincere and truthful and necessary.
That's a knob on the Neve control panel.
Huh.
I said, turn the sincerity up to 10.
Well,
I do hope that people will, you know, I do. I mean, I like it when people sing. The other night we, you know, when we get together for dinner with friends,
mm-hmm.
My girlfriend is Italian actually. And I spend some time over there and I work a lot in Europe, go there and she spends time over here. And when we get together with other friends, you know, Italian friends, like, you know, a lot of times after dinner, after we've talked ourselves out, we play music and we sing, and it's fun. So I'm happy when people sing, and if it gets recorded, that's good too.
Well, we're so happy that you got these recordings out. You know, please, whatever we can do, please call on us. Thank you. I want to thank you. I'm going to play some of the songs, my favorites, although I love them all, to be honest with you. You know, my sincerity knob is way up high right now, and I love them all, but I would like to play some of your songs. I don't know if you want to stay on or perhaps we can talk sometime in the future, but I am so grateful to you. I didn't properly introduce you. I probably will after I play some of your songs on this
recording. Please introduce me. If there's time for a brief coda on my part, I just want to say, you know, I've gotten like right to the bone in terms of like being very serious and getting the political message out. I hope the songs, the tunes are fun. What I really want to do is rock the house, you know, and play good music. But sometimes, you know, well, like I say, I only sing in emergencies. This is an emergency. And sometimes if you want to rock, you can't rock the house unless you're willing to acknowledge the elephant in the room. You got to speak the truth about what's going on before you can rock the house sometimes. And so that's what this is about. But we had fun making it, too. And you asked if there's anything that you can do that's useful. And what I'm saying and trying to say in every interview, that these next weeks before the election are probably the most important time in any of our political lives. And what we can do that's useful, what I'm doing, I mean, I don't think this record is going to, I hope it will, but I don't think, you know, putting out recordings, commercial releases, change anybody's mind, you know. What does change the outcome is getting out and canvassing. There's an organization called swingleft.org. It's super easy. They will send you to races that are near you that will make a difference. You don't have to be a super big intellectual who knows every answer. 99% of this is just letting people know when the vote is and that people are running. You'd be amazed how many people don't even know. So, you know, you don't have to get into fights with people. It's not about that. It's about ringing doorbells and saying, hi, did you know this is happening? Here's the name of the people who we support.
What's the name of the organization?
Swingleft.org. They have a great website where they will hook you up in 2 minutes with they will give you options of races near you can get involved with and actions you can participate, how you can, you know, if your own congressperson is already, you know, is already Democrat who's voting for, you know, who would vote against Trump's actions, then great, you know, then maybe the district next to yours, there's a race that's winnable. And also the state elections matter too. These things matter more than ever. State elections matter more than ever. California recently won great environmental laws. New York is going to do it this year. If the state, this is over one-third of the economy, it makes a difference. It sets the stage for once Trump is out of there, we can turn things around.
Yeah, not soon enough for me, frankly.
No, we have to participate in this process as if our lives depend on it, because they do.
Yes. Mark, thank you. We wish you all the best. I'm going to play some of Goodbye Beautiful now.
Okay, take care. Enjoy. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you, Mark. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Storm outside is raging. Our shoes are broken, still we must go on. The war we fight, so long before our liberty, just the possibility of a future. Militant ecologist, like a shadow emerges from the night. Stars above guide her on her mission. Strong her heart, swift her arm to strike.
Rastreo leaders, new peoples, new painters, new music, new Pablos, new Fridas, no Ratas, no haters, no fakers, soul shapers. Not my president, not my president, no borders, no walls. I hate you, I scorn you, I'm crying, I'm on you. Can't wait cause the change gon' come. Can't wait cause the change gon' come. Sun gon' shine, rain gon' come. Crops will grow, same old song. Solo my voice, making my choice. We all join hands, my feet are so loco. Un poco, heal the world.
Maldita sanguijuela, maldita cucaracha, que infectas donde pica, que hieres y que matas. Alimaña, culebra ponzoñosa, desecho de la vida. Te odio y te desprecio, rata de dos patas. Te estoy hablando a ti, porque un bicho rastrero, aun siendo el más maldito, comparado contigo, se queda muy chiquito.
We have some bad hombres here.
Rat with two legs, I'm talking to you.
I will get Mexico today.
Tienes chiquita el alma, chiquitito el cerebro, podrido el corazón.
They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists.
Deformed much dusty. How much damage have you done to them?
Maldita cucaracha, culebra ponzoñosa, te odio y te desprecio. Estás oyendo inútil, abusivo. Siembras odio por donde vas.
Yeah, there you have Ratas de Dos Patas. From this beautiful collection by Mark Rebo and his many collaborators, Steve Earle, Tom Waits, many others, Michelle Ndegocello, many others, Faye Victor. Please check out this recording, swingleft.org. I want to thank Mark Rebo again for coming on and talking with us here at Radio Free Brooklyn on Hurdy Gurdy Songs, where every Tuesday we address and listen to music that deals with the truth, the telling of the truth by artists and musicians that are willing to risk everything to tell that truth. So if you have hurdy-gurdy songs you want to hear, please send them to me at jorge@radiofreebrooklyn.org. That's jorge@radiofreebrooklyn.org. We're going to go out with a couple more, hopefully at least a couple more from this collection. Next up is We'll Never Turn Back, song that deals with Marsha P. Johnson, who was one of the icons of the gay rights movement in the 1960s. This is from the CD notes. The self-described street queen of the New York's gay ghetto, and who founded the Transvestites Action Revolutionaries with fellow luminary Sylvia Rivera. When Johnson's body was found in the Hudson River in 1992, police called it a suicide and didn't investigate. This is the kind of depth and acknowledgement of the injustices that many people undergo under fascist regimes. And as Mark strongly points out in this recording, we have to do something about it. And I'll tell you one thing, we'll certainly never turn back.
Never turning back until we've all been free. Thank you. never turning back. No, we're never turning back. No, we're never turning back until we've all been free. No, we're never turning back. No, we're never turning back. No, we're never turning back until we've all been free.
One morning I woke up early. Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Bella Chow. Ashes at my door. Oh, Partigiano, please take me with you. Bella Ciao, Bella Ciao, goodbye, beautiful. Oh, Partigiano, please take me with you. I'm not afraid.